Welcome to Influential She, the podcast about accelerating the influence of women in the world.
You will find us to be a fresh voice in an old conversation.
And here we are, your amazing co-hosts, Deb Soholt
and Mel Schopp. Well, welcome to this episode of Influential She, our conversation about accelerating the influence of women in the world. I'm one of your co-hosts, Mel Schopp.
And I'm Deb Soholt.
And, you know, today I'm sitting here, it's just Deb and I, and we're sitting in Keystone in the beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota.
Sun shining.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. A little bit of snow, but it's gorgeous. And one of the things that I think that I am really excited to be able to talk about with Deb today is one of our high leverage practices called BioU. And of all of the practices that we have created and worked through as we've been creating Influential She, this is probably one that people might think how this fits and why is it actually called a high leverage practice. However, the work that Deb has done has really helped me to understand how important it is that we have to have all pieces of our lives put together. That's from, you know, when we talk about mind, body, spirit, we're going to talk about how you can't really have the mind and the spirit there if the body isn't following behind you. So, Deb, this has been something that since I've met you, I've just been fascinated with. And every time I talk to you about this, I think it intrigues me more and more. So, first of all, explain to me a little bit about if you were to tell somebody what in the world is BioU about, just kick it off because I'm always fascinated. You help me out every time that we're together.
Well, our practice is bio, like biology, the biology of you. And for our listeners, I'm a registered nurse, and I've spent all of my career really working in women's health and helping women to take their bodies back. And I find it so interesting that over time, we've almost abdicated how we work, how we understand how we work to other systems, whether that's the health system or because we're, you know, not wanting to get pregnant and we're suppressing the chemical system within our bodies, and totally respect all of that. But what that has done over time is really almost disconnect a woman's head and understanding from all the messages that her body is sending her. So in my most recent past, I was working in the world of functional medicine. And functional health is really about we should work perfectly, like men and women. Like, it's not just exclusive to women. But our bodies were designed to really be in balance with each other, that all of our organs are functioning at tip-top shape, that because we have all of these things that give us energy, then we're able to go out and make our way in the world. And it's also energy to fight inflammation and assaults that are coming from the environment that we live in.
Okay, so hold on a second, though.
Yeah.
You're talking about this, but what in the world does it have to do with women's influence? So that's what we're about.
Well, it turns out quite a lot. Because the issue is that if your body is all out of balance, then you will not have the energy to go and pursue what it is that you want to do, what's deeply seated to your values, the passions that you have, the roles that you play in your life, how you want to have fun. And Influential She is really about accelerating influence, but it's also about having fun along the way. And I think that's some of the wisdom that we have wanted to impart. So when I started working in this functional health world and I started to see, wow, you know, your body should work right. Your hormonal rhythms should be in sync. Your brain, your gut, your thyroid, your adrenal system should be in sync. And then there's also the difference between men and women that we just really aren't talking about. We have different hormonal rhythms for a reason. We are not cookie cutter of each other. And those hormonal rhythms really make a difference in how we show up in the world, how we're going to interface with others, what's the kind of game that you're playing. So I'm really excited to start talking about the biology of you. You know, I've always said, I call myself a women's health environmentalist, that really I'm helping women come back to the environment of themselves. And that is what, it's such a beautiful environment, each woman individually, so gorgeous in her own right. And I just want women to have extraordinary energy in order to be able to pursue the things that they want to influence. That requires really understanding their own bio-me, bio-you.
So what are some of the things that, you know, one of the things, I'm going to back up a second here. One of the things I think that's always fascinated me that you've spoke about is that it starts in the gut. Now, that just doesn't seem like that's the place where all of these things are happening. Can you further explain that? Because I think that's helped me to better understand
Well, and I'm not sure how it all completely starts in the gut. There's a lot of things that mm-hmm. start from what you're thinking about, and then you end up having, you know, stress that starts to play out in other areas of your body. Mm-hmm. But I think what's so interesting about the gut is that it's such a, it's just this large platform of absorption. So when you think about, it's just the largest system organ where you can absorb good nutrients to nurture and feed your body. When the gut is off, and stress will definitely help to make your gut be off, or you can, stress can come from, I ate something bad and now I have this bacteria mm-hmm. that's making it crazy, or stress can just come from just being completely on overdrive as a woman, pushing yourself to the point of exhaustion and stress. It will start to play out in the gut. And so really weird things start happening. There's a situation called leaky gut. And I know that sounds like there's this big hole that somehow, you know, something's leaking True. Out of. It's not like that, except it's leaking these large molecules. And so what happens is the body then says, whoa, there's an inflammation there. There's something that I have to fight. So the immune system kind of ratchets up and starts to fight against this leaky gut. And what happens is women start to experience when their gut is off, and they don't like really know it because it's more like at the microscopic level. You start, if you're listening to your body, you can find symptoms that show up. Like for me, when my gut's off, when I've had too much stress, where I have something that's happened and I need to reheal it, I always have one finger on my left hand that the middle joint starts to ache. And I go, uh-oh. I'm starting to have leaky gut because the immune system, when it starts to fight everywhere. And a lot of times women feel that in their joints. So then I know, okay, I need to start to eat cleaner. I need to take out the refined sugars. I need to maybe not have a glass of wine tonight and go on some probiotics and start to slow myself down a little bit. Maybe take some short walks that I can fit into my busy life. Sit down for 10 minutes and just try to not think, even though I have a huge monkey mind. And I think a lot of women would have a hard time shutting off their monkey mind. But all those things start to help to heal the gut. The healing of the gut is really important for energy preservation and just overall feeling better.
You know, I think the tendency, or at least my tendency, has been that when I'm not feeling well, is to try to find that quick fix. You know, pop a couple Excedrin, take an acid, which you're not saying that we should not do, correct? However, being able to recognize the symptoms of where it's going back to, how can you, I mean, is it really that simple? Is it really as simple as what you said about, you know, cutting out the refined sugars? Are those just things should be thinking about?
You know what? It is simple, but it's not simple.
Okay.
And so I think there's a couple of things that I want to just explain from a biologic perspective so that women understand it. One is that there is this extraordinary mechanism. It's called the HPA axis. And what it is the hypothalamus in your brain is sending messages to your pituitary, which is sending messages to your thyroid that has to do with your metabolism, which is sending messages to your adrenals. Now, what are your adrenals? They are these wonderful little glands that sit on top of the kidneys. That's where they are placed in your body. Mm-hmm. But they don't have really anything specific to do with the kidney itself. What the adrenals do, though, is they give you the hormones, the flight or fight. Like if you have a bear chasing you, you're going to have this big rush. And we've all had those rushes when we've been extremely scared or something happened in the moment. And we had this immediate response to respond to it. And those are very powerful hormones that are released. But additionally, there's another part of the adrenal that does what we call the diurnal rhythm, which is a 24-hour rhythm. Now, that's your cortisol levels, and you hear a lot in the news about cortisol right now. So let's just talk about cortisol a little bit, because it's a really important and powerful chemical in our body. We need to have always a little bit of stress in order to just keep going. Stress can be a really, really super good thing. So the cortisol level, what it should do is you go to bed at night, it lowers, the adrenals regenerate during the night. In the morning, the cortisol levels start to rise at the same time the sun's kind of starting to rise. And that cortisol level coming up gives you the energy to get up and out of bed. And when you're refreshed, it's really cool. And then it waxes and wanes through the day, should go down again at night. When we're under extraordinary amount of asking our bodies to perform in a way that they just can't keep going that way, or we have an ongoing infection that we have never healed, or we have just relationships that are fractured that are causing us ongoing stress. You have a surgery. That's an ongoing assault to the body. So something that's like longer term and chronic. What happens is cortisol levels continue to stay up. They are not meant to stay up all the time. And all of a sudden the adrenal system says, well, phooey, I'm just like not going to support you anymore. And so what it does is it drops. And what we often see with women when they're at that point of exhaustion and, you know, pushing themselves too hard, and you're everywhere, I'm just telling you, you're everywhere, these women, you will see that the cortisol level at night is staying high, or you're just like flat. And what happens is when it stays high, you have trouble getting to sleep.
So I was just going
to
ask.
Or you get to sleep and you can't stay asleep.
Okay.
And many times when women are off, you say, how many times are you waking up at about 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
And women will go, how do you know what time it is?
Exactly.
You said, because you can get to sleep, but you can't stay asleep. Or in the morning, you've had this restless night, but all of a sudden at like 4:35 in the morning, you finally get to sleep and you're starting to get some generative sleep, and then your alarm goes off and you got to get going again, when really you should stay in bed till 9 or 10 to help regenerate the adrenals. When that cortisol level stays up in the body, then what happens is the pancreas starts to respond. And the pancreas is where you get your insulin. What does insulin do? It's like, I think about it like a Ferrari that comes over and picks up the energy molecules of sugar and takes them into your cells to feed them and give them energy. What happens is your pancreas starts to say, ooh, this person is really amiss. And so the insulin is called insulin resistance. And we really don't have time to talk about that a lot today, but the body feels like this is somewhat of a crisis mode body right now. So what does the body do? Every morsel of food, whatever it is, says, I'm going to store that as fat for fuel for a rainy day because we're not getting enough energy into the cells. It ends up being this vicious cycle. And all of a sudden women go, why in the world am I gaining weight above the waist? Why am I not sleeping? Why do I just feel lousy all around? It all comes back to you're probably under too much stress, or you have an inflammation in your body in a physical nature that hasn't been healed. You got to get to the bottom of it. So when you talk about, let's, you know, take some aspirin or other kinds of things, or yes, that's a Band-Aid. That is not a lifestyle. And so for those of you that are in that lifestyle, you got to really start thinking about, why is that? What is the deeper message that's going on inside of me? Because that takes away your energy from being able to act in the world and to really grasp on to being fully influential.
So those might seem like, I mean, it sounds like a really easy prescription. You know, so like you said, it's the baby steps. Is it possible? How can you get that back? Because I'm just sitting here thinking, when I'm really anxious, when you say, I feel it right in my stomach,
yep,
right there.
Right,
I mean,
in your, right in right your in solar my, plexus in your gut.
Okay, and so that's what I'm feeling. And that's my anxiety. You know, it's not where you think that, you know, you're anxious in your head. I'm not anxious up here. I'm anxious.
Well, you're probably anxious in your head, but it's playing out in your gut.
In my gut is what
I'm... And so I think what's interesting is how aware you are of that. And I think sometimes what I'm, you know, I really want women to get in touch with is an awareness of what their own body is telling them, even before you try to do something. Mm-hmm. How many times do you just say, I wonder, how do I feel right under my rib cage? What does that feel like? Am I having all kinds of, you know, gut issues that are sporadic and they come and go? Constipation, diarrhea, you know, different kinds of, or this anxious gut. Where's that coming from? What have I done? What have I eaten? How are things going for me right now? And, you know, I feel like women are always beat up with all these messages, like you have to be so perfect and people want you to just, okay, now eat right, now exercise. I think that's just nonsense. I just don't think that's how a life is lived.
That can be stressful.
That can make you more anxious.
And then
you think,
I
got to get into spandex. Yeah. I need to go to a gym.
Yeah.
I can never have a glass
of
wine.
Do that. No.
I can't really live in the world. Yeah. I can't have any sugar. That is not reality.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is honor yourself enough to do something tiny. Like if you're feeling in your solar plexus, Mel, like what you just talked about, stop, just stop for a moment and take 5 breaths, just 5, in through your nose, out through your mouth, slow. You won't believe how hard that is. And it can only take you, you know, 3 to 4 minutes, but you can just slowly get an awareness to start to calm yourself down. So with women, I don't want you to beat yourself up over bio-you. It's about listening. And then honoring and respecting yourself, saying, you know what, this is how I am right now. It's disconnected with how I want to show up in the world. But I also know it's going to take me just a little bit of time to get better. So when I'm completely out the edge, I have to reclaim a little bit of time. And I just have to say, you know what, I am absolutely just doing this for myself, period. And I have to almost schedule it in. But it starts then a trajectory of, okay, now I feel like I can get some healthier food. Now I feel like I have time to cook myself a meal.
Mm-hmm.
and I start to move in the new direction. But it starts first with just listening to what in the world is going on and being honest about it. Like, really respecting that I'm not in great shape. And I, for every woman, it's different with what feeds your soul, what makes you feel better. What little things for me is getting outside. If I can get out even for a short walk just to get some fresh air, I can start to grab hold of myself again. And so some people are like, well, you know, try to get more rest. I can't get more rest when I'm like that. I'm just like out of control. Mm-hmm. So I think it's personal and individual, and then you have to do it for yourself.
You know, you wrote something once that I really found important to me. You said that this balance is not somebody else's system, it's yours, but it's possible and it's powerful. And when you think about that, that is something that you can control, but it's so easy to think that I can't control this because I've got this and this to do. I've got, you know, you've got a family, you've got obligations, you've got this job. But to be able to think about the small things you can do to lower that anxiety, I just think those are really, really critical things. But that's always struck me that it is possible. And when you know it's possible, it's powerful. And that in itself can release some of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's about what do you love, like in the little mm-hmm. moment? Like, do you find, for me, if I'm not feeling a little bit sassy and having, you know, laughing and mm-hmm. feeling more spontaneous and kind of in this free space mm-hmm. with people, I know I'm way off. Like, I am totally down tight. I'm ratcheted down. I'm probably not very much fun to be around. And so I'm like, ooh, I'm losing myself. But the way back is not a pill overnight. It just doesn't work like that. So it's about saying, what do I love to do? I love to read. I've always loved to read. And not a self-development. I mean, I like to read self-development books and intellectual, but just to read a good book, a chapter, even one chapter. Or to say, ooh, this a great cup of coffee in this place where I can just kind of hang out and people watch a little bit, that might be fun to do. Or for some people, it's a bubble bath. That's not my thing, but for some people, that really is a thing. So you don't have to give yourself a day. You don't have to get into spandex and go to the gym. You don't have to go to a spa. You don't have to be all balanced. It's saying, you know what? I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to get 2 healthy things. That's it. I'm not making a grocery list. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to figure out meals. I'm not going to transform my life. I'm just putting a stake in the ground for myself. And that's what it takes to start moving out of this space of really being out of balance.
You know, I think one of the things too is just the recognition that there is this important connection between the biology and how we perform. Because I think so often we separate the two, or at least I have throughout, you know, my career and through my life, is I always think about I have to be on top of things intellectually or how I show up or in the things that I do with ignoring that piece of it. But when it really comes together, you can, you know, you kind of feel that rhythm. But boy, when that's out of sync, everything is harder.
Your body shows up with the stress even before your mind acknowledges that it's starting to happen. So when your body is out of balance, the mind catches up later. Your body always knows and it always reveals itself first, but we're great at never paying attention.
Exactly.
You know, I can just power my way through this thing and I don't have to listen to what's going on.
But don't you think that's what women think they have to do? I mean, I almost used to take like some pride and it's like, you know, I can run on, you know, 5 hours of sleep. I can, you know, don't you think that that's sort of how people who think they have to, or women, I'm talking women in general, like, I can do this. I'm like superwoman. And I was almost sort of proud of it in this weird way. And then it catches up.
And that's one of the messages we wanted to tell younger women. Like, that's like nonsense. Like, we did all that.
Exactly.
And what did it do? Over time, you became disenfranchised with things. Right. You weren't interfacing with people in your own most influential space.
Today, this morning, we were talking about, there was a year I didn't put up a Christmas tree, for goodness sakes.
Right.
And I didn't have the energy to put up the Christmas tree. Seriously. Right. I mean, really, when you think back, because my whole life was, I remember just being, and then that made me even more anxious. I mean, I know that seems like a silly thing, but I was not flow with myself.
Because, and you probably weren't meeting what you wanted to do with your family.
No.
So you had your priority of, this is important to me and my family, but I have depleted myself to a point where I don't have energy. And I think, and life isn't perfect, right? Things happen. People get sick. Relationships break up. Work gets stressful. But what the problem is that we can sustain that for a period of time. Mm-hmm. You can be out in a job or helping a sick loved one or raising little kids, or you can do those things points in time. You cannot sustain it as a lifestyle, because then the body will start to feel the effects of you being so far out of balance.
But don't you think part of it too is that it's just not fun? I just think back on all the years when I really lacked some joy in the hope that somewhere down the road I could have those moments. And it wasn't like my life was terrible in any respect. I'm not saying that. But just lost out on a lot of joy and fun because you're just so focused on
overwork.
Yeah.
Just overwork, overdoing, yeah,
overdoing,
over perfection.
Yeah. And just not in balance with who I was.
Well, and like your hair gets dull,
exactly.
And your eyes get dull, mm-hmm. and you just start adding, you know, more makeup. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and those were from past expectations, I think.
True.
You know, you got to show up, you got to work harder than anybody else. You've got to be more prepared than your male colleagues. And yet we ended up just in hard work instead of working hard to follow our dreams. And it depletes you and it pulls you into a situation. So is all of this super easy? No, it's not. So when you think about even trying to eat healthy food when you're stressed, your body mm-hmm. is really kind of working against you, because when those cortisol levels are high and your body feels like it's in crisis mode because you're mm-hmm. not nurturing it physically, then it works against you to kind of store everything as fat because you need fuel for another day. Mm-hmm. At least your body thinks that. So when you're in that situation, honestly, women, be nice to yourselves, because there's not one healthy thing that looks good. I mean, even vegetables and fruit and lean protein looks terrible. And you're exhausted and the thought of trying to cook something healthy. So what is your body craving? Quick energy, carbs, refined sugars.
Exactly.
So your body is giving you all these messages that I want chocolate and whatever. So I'm sort of like, you can't be perfect. So do some of that and then back it up with starting to take a new step. Instead of saying, well, now I'm going to be perfect at this too. I'm going to try to cook. Well, your brain becomes addicted. We have addiction centers in our brain. It's not just for chemicals of alcohol and drugs and other things. Your addiction centers, when you do too much refined food and high sugars, they are triggered to have you want more. And so you look at, they've done a lot of experiments with mice, for instance, and they've introduced high fructose corn syrup to mice. Like first they got them addicted to mm-hmm. cocaine, and then they introduced high fructose corn syrup. And then when they offered both, they went for the high fructose corn syrup.
Oh,
now,
that's encouraging.
Is a powerful addiction, is all of these refined chemicals. So you have to live in the world. We're not all going to become 100% clean eaters. Mm-hmm. 80-20 women, like 80% of the time, try to give yourself something that will nurture your body. 20% of the time, have fun in moderation. So it isn't about living a pure life. It's about being in it in a healthy way.
I think there's three words that you had put into something you'd written at one time. It's recovery, repair, and return to wholeness. You know, just take your body back, and those are baby steps along the way. But I think even this awareness.
Yeah, so the first is the recovery.
Yeah.
And you can't recover it without listening to what your body is telling mm-hmm. you. And to recall back, if you've been on this journey for a long time of high, high, high stress, mm-hmm. sometimes you even have a hard time remembering, what did I feel like when I felt great?
Yeah.
And so you first have to just recover yourself. And there may be some things, you know, in your gut, in your food, that you've got to actually recover that part of your body. And then you repair it with, you know, probiotics or all these strategies, mostly lifestyle change strategies. Mm-hmm. And then you can start really moving on to, you know, full wholeness.
Yeah. Yeah. Deb, just before we tie this up today,
there's one thing we really need to talk about, Mel, and that's the hormonal cycle.
Okay, that's what I was going to...
Is that where you were headed?
That's where I was headed.
I love it.
Yeah, because that's exactly something we haven't...
I mean, because that's just uniquely ours mm-hmm. As females, and males have their own rhythm. So I think so many people don't really understand how this all works. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to quickly explain the hormonal cycle. So if you're a cycling woman and you're not on a birth control that's suppressing your hormonal cycle, how it works is the brain sends a message down to the ovary. It's called a follicle stimulating hormone. It says to the ovary and an egg, okay, it's time to give me an egg. And then what happens is this egg starts to ripen within the ovary. And then there is another message that goes back up to the brain saying, okay, it's time now for that egg to actually erupt and go down the fallopian tube into the uterus. And so it's called a luteinizing hormone. And so, boop, you have an ovulation. And in
the, I like the little boop.
Yep, the little boop. And an egg comes down. And so what happens physiologically during the first half of that cycle, when that brain is sending a message down to the ovary, it's time to develop an egg, that is when we have a lot of estrogen. Now, estrogen is like a super peppy hormone, and it's like really happy. And whenever I think of estrogen as a color, I think of it as being yellow. It's like super sunny. And on the first half of the cycle, when just remember when your period ends and like your jeans fit again and that bloating is gone, all of a sudden you're like feeling really good and on top of your game. The first couple of weeks has a lot of this estrogen hormone, which gives you a lot of drive and goal-drivenness. And so then what happens is when that ovulation transpires, that is when you get a release of testosterone. And the, I mean, it's just, you know, creation. It was meant that, you know, guys are supposed to look really attractive to you at the time of ovulation. Mm-hmm. So you enhance your, it's just, this is biology,
it's
baby.
Biology, baby.
And so that you would get pregnant. So then what happens is this, where the egg comes out of is called the corpus callosum. And that corpus callosum starts giving us the hormone progesterone. And progesterone is this calming, relaxing hormone. And it starts to rise in the second half of the cycle, the last 2 weeks. And then there is a big peak and a drop, and that precipitous drop withdrawing progesterone is what causes the uterus to bleed. So during that time when the progesterone is in play, it's just hormonally driven that, you know, you want to just like lay around, have somebody bring you chocolate chip cookies. You start gaining some water weight because that's what you're biologically meant to do, mm-hmm. that you're starting to nurture this uterus to implant an egg. That's mm-hmm. just every month. And then there's the shed of the lining of the uterus with that drop. So what I talk to women about is say, hey, if you're struggling with PMS, those 4 or 5 days before your period, you feel irritable and cranky. You've got this water weight gain and you're also not feeling at the top of your game. Well, then don't go out in the world and try to do your biggest intellectual work. If you've got to be in a room with a lot of high testosterone men and they're just biologically driven by their testosterone, if at all possible, on the first half of your cycle, you've got better hormones to kind of fight in that same arena than you do the 5 days before your period. Now, you can't control all of that.
Sure.
I understand that, but you got to be nice to yourself about how you might snap, about how you might. In fact, there's a funny story about this that when my daughter was in high school basketball, had a male coach, and it's true that women, sisters, they cycle together.
Yeah.
Even if they live in different places, right. Sorority houses cycle together. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a whole group of high school girls, they're going to start cycling together
right.
if they're not on the pill. So what is going to happen? They're all going to be on their progesterone phase at exactly the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to the coach, I explained the hormonal rhythm to him, and I said, you know, here's the thing. On the first half of the cycle, push them hard. You can be tough, like a man coach. They can take it. They can give it right back to you. They can be like thoroughbreds. But if you start to do that knuckle down technique the 5 days before they're all going to have their periods, they are going to be bitchy and like not respond to you.
I love it that you shared it with them.
And he was like, I don't have any sisters. And he said, how am I going to know when they are all cycling together? I said, well, you have female assistant coaches. They mm-hmm. can tell you, well, within a month of practicing together, they're all cycling together. And I said, by all means, you can still run them hard. Like you don't have to back off and practice, but your strategy of coaching has to change where mm-hmm. you're not trying to, you know, just be in their face about it, but you're mm-hmm. more nurturing. Mm-hmm. They will respond.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, as mothers, control the team meal when they're all cycling together and they're all PMSing together, we won't go high carbohydrate because they would gain too much water
sure.
weight 2 or 3 days and they'll just be like slugs running yeah. on the basketball court. Whereas if we can give them more lean food, we might be able to help them
mm-hmm.
not have that biologically happen. Well, I like to say we won state that year in basketball. And so I'd like to say that this little,
it was your coaching.
I'm sure it had nothing to do with
it. Oh my
gosh.
That is great.
So all of that makes a difference when you are listening to your body and those hormonal rhythms. They're just so beautiful and coursing through you, but it happens like every month. Now, if you're on the birth control pill, that whole cycle is going to be suppressed. And then some of that, we won't get into all of it in this episode, but there are issues of like how much chemicalization are you getting in relationship to this balance of estrogen and progesterone? Because it's like a yin and a yang in your body. We think it just has to do with the breasts and the uterus. There are over 400 receptor sites that respond to estrogen and progesterone in the body. So it's about our brain. It's about our breasts, our heart, our joints. Mm-hmm. So it isn't just, I think we've been kind of given a bill of goods of not thinking about this environment, right, of what it means to be a woman, and to understand that all of those hormonal pathways give us our energy and our zest, and they're all communicating with each other all the time. It's a full body experience. You're all in this. There isn't just a way to chop yourself up.
Yeah. You were talking about going into a room full of men. You always explain well that if you go in, they're all positioned to, somebody's going to win.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. If you go into a room in a meeting and there's this really, they might be really nice guys. Let's just say it's a really great room full of men. I mean, there's people that aren't fun to hang out with, both men and women, all right, that are just not great people to be with. But let's say you're going into a room of a whole bunch of 30-year-old men that are great men. They are biologically driven that somebody's got to win, and that is just testosterone. It's not because they're mm-hmm. trying to get over on you. It's because they are biologically driven that somebody needs to win. So if you're going in to that same meeting and there's only one or two women in that meeting and you want to have some kind of high collaboration to come out, you got to go in being ready to win.
Yeah.
And to match that energy level and how they're biologically driven as well. Now, I'm sure that men experience the same thing. If they're coming in with testosterone on board and somebody's got to win, and they come into a whole group of women that are just doing this really high feeling collaboration meeting, you know, I'm sure they feel the same kind of, I am out of water here. Where are we getting to the bottom line here? How's this happening? So I'm not saying it's exactly the same, but it's something to be aware of, that energy, it isn't good. It isn't bad. It just is.
Well, Deb, do you have any words of wisdom before we tie this up? We have so much, we could talk about this all the, you know.
And we're going to.
And we're going to, because I think this is such a critically, it's really helped me in some of the stressful times that I've had in the last, you know, a couple of years, just to be able to visit with you.
And the first question is, tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what your body is telling you.
Exactly, yeah.
And we start there before we even start to deal with the issue. So there's just a couple of things I want to leave women with today. First of all, we're busting this conversation wide open. And it's kind of weird that it's tucked mm-hmm. into this influential she, and that's part of why we wanted to talk about influence and not just about, this is leadership only for people who are in former leader positions. We're talking about the influence of a woman. Part of your influence comes from your biology and who you are. It begins with having a platform that you can launch from, and that's your body. And you were made beautiful, and you were meant to be fundamentally strong. Your organs are supposed to work right. You are supposed to have a strong system that can respond to assaults and inflammations in your body. Will we be perfect? Will we always be able to not be influenced by what's going on in the environment? No. We all get sick and things happen, but we want that to be minimal. Mm-hmm. We want you to have this wonderful, magnificent, great functioning body that you've reclaimed. You've taken yourself back to be able to really accelerate your influence. We're going to talk about this a lot.
Yeah. Well, this is always, always inspiring for me. So really appreciate it, Deb.
Well, so to end our podcast today, what we want you to think about is just a question. How much are you listening to your body today? I would ask you to ask yourself this question. How am I feeling? How are different parts of me feeling? How can I get in touch with what it's trying to tell me? We look forward to hearing what you have to say about all of that. We want to thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Influential She. We really hope you'll do it again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed our podcast, we'd be so jazzed if you rate us on whatever app you use to find us. And hey, be sure to tell all your friends about Influential She.
And please visit us at InfluentialShe.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. And you know what? If you come up with a new one, please let us know. In the meantime, remember, stay influential.